It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
And welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast, covering the real estate news as it breaks every morning, of course, 7 days a week. And you'll hear us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as Amazon. Up to a Thursday morning. Hope your working week is going well. And last week, we were talking with Asti about regional areas, and that included places like Mackay. We talked about Toowoomba, a regional city west of Queensland, and also touched on Dubbo in New South Wales. And then just a couple of days ago on Tuesday, we were looking at Maryborough in Victoria, not the one in Queensland. And now time to find out about another Victoria town, in fact, a couple of them. So it's really been Victoria, Victoria, Victoria this week. And joining me is Mick Dolphin, who is the principal from First National Rangers. Couple of offices you got there, Mick, Belgrave and Cockatoo. Good morning to you. Perhaps you can explain geographically where they sit.
Yeah, good morning. So we have two offices. The main office is based in Belgrave, and we have a secondary office in Cockatoo. Belgrave is situated around about an hour due east of Melbourne in the Dandenong Ranges, and Cockatoo is about a further 20 minutes drive on the fringe of the Yarra Valley, I suppose you'd place us as well.
And how far away are you from Maryborough?
So Maryborough is central Victoria. It's probably about three and a half hours drive from where we are. So quite a different regional area I'd classify as Maryborough as.
So what sort of buyers have you been seeing that have decided to opt into the lifestyle where you are? Because one of the big things is, of course, you've got larger blocks that you're selling.
Yeah, so that's exactly right. We're situated around half an hour from the fringe suburbs of Melbourne, where there's a large population. So we do tend to get a lot of lifestyle change buyers, families upsizing, wanting more land. You know, kids are growing, want more space. So, and people, I suppose, wanting to get out of the rat race.
Yeah, because there's been this talk where people moved out for the lifestyle during COVID, and then they missed the CBD, the city. They wanted to go back. They sold up and said, no, I've got to get back to family. But that's not necessarily the case in terms of where you are. They're still filtering through.
Yeah, I think so. The demand or the number of buyers, it has diminished or gone back to pre-COVID levels, but we've always been a lifestyle-driven area, so we've always had that type of buyer moving to our area. It's just, I suppose, that the trends changed from during COVID was really inner-city buyers, inner-city Melbourne buyers. Now we're back to the fringes of Melbourne coming up to our area, which is historically what it was pre-COVID.
So somebody rings you and they say, look, really interested in a lifestyle property, Mick. What are some of the questions that they're asking? What are the sort of the top three things that they want to know?
A lot of times it's partly about the property, but it's actually about the facilities and the community that we have in the area. They're often worried that maybe there's not schools here or there's not the shops here that they're expecting. And they're usually pleasantly surprised that you don't have to move from this area to get everything that you want, perhaps with the exception of the large bulk stores, which you'd probably have to drive half an hour to 40 minutes to get to. So it's partly about the property, but it's also partly about their family and the facilities that they're going to experience up here. And we're blessed that we've got some really great facilities in the area still.
And I was talking to Kate there on Tuesday in Maryborough. We talked about the Wi-Fi, the fibre, of course, just so really important when it comes to working from home. No doubt that is a question for those working from home that want to know, gosh, you know, are we going to be connected?
Yeah, that's a big question. We do get that. And predominantly up here, our internet service is mostly pretty good. There's a few pockets, obviously, on a property-by-property basis where the internet can be a little bit more challenging. But we've got options like Starlink, for example. So there's a lot of options here. But generally speaking, the ability to work from home is not too bad up in this area. 95% of the cases for houses.
Gee, Starlink, how many times have we heard that word over the last 12 months? You know, it's been a bit of a game changer. And the other thing that I wanted to ask you is investors. Now, are you finding investors there in Victoria, some of them starting to sell up due to the increased taxes?
Yeah, there's no doubt that that's the trend. We had a few sell over COVID when the government introduced some extra compliance, and then subsequently this last 12 months we've had the investor tax, the land tax, which has come into play, and they're starting to get their bills now, these investors, and they're ringing me up and saying, look, we're certainly considering selling. A large percentage of people that are selling, and typically, unfortunately, they're getting bought by owner-occupiers. So we're seeing that investor pool of houses diminish. And what that's led to is an increase in rents and probably a 20% year-on-year growth in rental prices, which makes it difficult for tenants. And because of our area in particular, it's only around 10 or 11% of properties are actually investment-type properties. So our rents are actually relatively high by comparison with some of the surrounding suburbs in the outer eastern Melbourne area.
And does that put a bit of a dent in your rent roll?
Yeah, it does. I think we probably, even though we've consolidated a few local businesses into our rent roll, we probably would have seen a 20% change or diminishment of the rentals if we weren't incorporating other businesses. And we're fortunate that we've got probably the largest number of rentals in the area. So that's good for us, but it is difficult for tenants to find properties.
All right, so we're talking to Mick Dolphin, and he's in a couple of different locations in Belgrave and Cockatoo. When we come back in just a moment, we are going to talk about a story with a twist. It's a mansion that got absolutely tagged, spray painted, got a new lick of paint, you could say. We'll find out the story, the backdrop behind all of that next.
Explore new property destinations where you could live with exclusive interviews covering real estate news and market insights.
Hey, coming up on Saturday morning, we've got Anthony Landell, who is going to be back, and that is with Mortgage Talk. And if you've got any questions, let him know. You can email us to myrealestatepodcast@gmail.com. And good morning to you, Robin, in Brisbane. Great to receive your email. And you told us that you've been a listener for a couple of years and you've finally seen the light and you are selling up your apartment and moving to the Sunshine Coast to Caboolture. So well done. Let us know after the shift has happened. And if you would like to get in touch, that is the email, myrealestatepodcast@gmail.com. Well, if you're doing any banking online stuff today, this story from the ABC, a little bit scary. Fraudsters managed to drain $10,000 from a Townsville man's bank account and caused untold havoc on his digital identity. This happened last month. Now, what happened was within 24 hours, his phone number was illegally transferred, leading to credit lines opened in his name and loss of access to email and social media accounts. I mean, that is bad enough, not being able to access your accounts, media accounts. I mean, a lot of people just absolutely start to go crazy over that. But it's led to $10,000 being taken out of his account. Now, despite protections, criminals are exploiting loopholes in phone porting and SIM swapping. I mean, they're just getting so sophisticated. And it highlights the vulnerability even with multi-factor authentication rules in place. And I know that they're working on this constantly to try and stay one step ahead of the criminality, but gee, it's getting very, very tough.
Remember, we are not a real estate company. We are 100% all about increasing your awareness and knowledge for buying and selling properties.
And it is a Real Estate Thursday, and we're talking to Mick Dolphin. And as mentioned just prior to the break, got a little bit of a story out of one of the areas that you represent there, Mick, Cockatoo. Now, this mansion that is for sale, it got splattered with graffiti all over the walls. There's a bit of a story because it's described as a mansion, but the price is between 1.1 and 1.2 million, I think, is the list price. We won't talk too much about the list price, but more about this property. It's got a bit of history.
Yeah, it's a bit of an icon for the area. It's certainly a very, very well-known property. And around 9 years ago, I sold it for the first time. The original owners were Eastern European and had decided that they wanted to build a beautiful large home in the wish that they'd have many children, but unfortunately they couldn't have children. So this house is about 90 squares and solely constructed out of bricks and masonry. And they lived in there until about 15 years ago when they passed away, and it's been vacant ever since. And the last time I sold it, it was sort of in fairly poor repair, but unfortunately the last 9 years it's become a mecca for people doing a bit of graffiti. So it's certainly a grand house in many regards. I suppose it depends on your style and your taste, but it certainly invites a lot of stories from the local area whenever I think over the last 9 years I still, even when it wasn't for sale, I'd get a call about every once a month asking if it might have been for sale. It's been on some of these Facebook pages where it's abandoned houses and all this kind of stuff, and people have done video walkthrough tours. So it's just got a lot of history, I suppose, for a lot of people find it fascinating.
We should point out it's got 8 bedrooms, 14 rooms, and it is on 13 acres. So it's quite a substantial property. How was it that it has ended up being in this abandoned situation for 15 years, you mentioned?
When the previous owners passed away, they had no relatives, and they passed it on to some members of their church. The family there sort of presented it for sale, and it took a little while to sell. So it hadn't been occupied for a number of years. And then subsequently the new buyer from 9 years ago had a plan of just making it a farm. And look, they just haven't done a whole lot on there. So it's sat there, and I think people are aware that it's not occupied. So, and it's an interesting building when you look at it from the street. So it's attracted lots of people. And I think predominantly with this Facebook post that people did with the abandoned houses, people have gone out there to investigate because it's just a fascinating property and people just love the story and want to know, they want to see it with their own eyes.
It's quite a sad story now that I'm hearing it for the first time. The people bought it to raise children. They couldn't have children. Then they died, and then the church got it, and then it's on Facebook. It's being tagged. I mean, that's pretty incredible sort of a backdrop. Is there enough inquiries that you're hopeful that you're going to be able to sell it to somebody that's going to bring it back to life, to its former glory?
Yeah, I think we've been very fortunate that due to the fact that it had good history last time being on Domain and Herald Sun and on the news, Channel 9 News, Channel 7 News. So I've made some contacts there, and because the history's there, we've been fortunate already to get a bit of coverage for the local paper and through Domain and the Herald Sun. So yesterday, I think I had a dozen inquiries on it alone. So certainly it's getting some very good traction again. My job in this case, as it was last time, is to filter out the people, I suppose, that are more serious versus the people that just love the story and want to have a bit of a look at it with their own eyes. So that's part and parcel of my job, and that's what I'll do. And we've already had some pretty good inquiries, to be honest, some really novel ideas, some people that want to restore it back to its former glory, some other people that have, maybe want to do a business venture out of there. So yeah, it's very interesting talking to the people and all the ideas that they have.
Well, it's not one that you hear every day, and this property, as I mentioned, quite a substantial one with 8 bedrooms, 14 rooms, 13 acres, is in Cockatoo. Well, Mick, great to chat and find out a little bit about your business there and how you're going in 2024, and thanks for coming on to the Real Estate Breakfast this morning.
My pleasure. I really appreciate your time, and everyone out there, have a great day.
Don't navigate the real estate market alone. Let us help guide you in the world of real estate every day. Make better informed decisions with the latest news and insights.
And having a median house price of currently, it was $357,000, which is absolutely phenomenal. That's for a house and land.
Okay, people's hearts have just stopped. 350K. Just sort of break that down in terms of the land size and what sort of property would somebody buy for 350K?
So generally on a 350K, you're looking at anywhere between 600 and 800 square metres. It could be either a weatherboard or brick home, and usually does need some love and attention. Not generally needing extensive, however, there are always those ones out there, but $350,000, you could actually be moving into a home that over the next few years, you might be able to transform into your dream home by doing little projects along the way.
We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia, The Real Estate Podcast.